This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting with commodities from yesterday, corn trading held steady with hardly any change from Wednesday. Beans fell some, but not as dramatically as the beginning of the week. Soybean meal and soybean oil also saw some small losses. Wheat also saw some losses as well. And here are your closing commodities from the Chicago Board of Trade. For December, corn finished yesterday at 360 and a quarter, down a quarter. May finished at 373 and a quarter, no change. And May finished at 380 and a half with no change. On to beans for January, 887 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. March finished at $9 and a quarter, at down 3 and 3 quarters. May finished at 913 and 3 quarters, down 3 and 3 quarters. Moving on to Chicago wheat for December, 496 and a half, down 1 cent. March finished at 507 and 3 quarters, down 3 and 3 quarters, and May finished at 514 and a half, down 4 and a half. Soybean meal for December finished at 306.90, down 10 cents. January finished at 309.50, down 8 cents. And March finished at 312.20, down 11 cents. To soybean oil for December, it finished at 27.68, down a nickel. January finished at 27.91, down 7 cents. And March finished at 28.16, down 8 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Lincoln Country grain prices are lower on Thursday afternoon. In northern western Lincoln Country, grain dealers quoted chow corn bids mostly steady at 322 to 347. Soybean bids were 4 to 6 lower at 814 to 834. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted chow corn bids steady to a penny lower at 322 to 350. Soybean bids were mostly 3 cents lower at 822 to 862. In the southern part of the state, chow corn bids were steady to a penny lower at 3.25 to 359, while soybean bids were mostly 3 cents lower at 820 to 851. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 3 cents lower at 849 to 872. Basis was steadied up to at 38 under to 15 under the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 286.90 to 301.90 a ton, down a dollar a ton, with basis unchanged to 20 under to 5 under the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady at 340 to 360, with basis steady at 20 under to option the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted a producer corn bid steady to a penny lower at 338 to 357, with basis unchanged to down 1 at 2200 to 3 under the December. Soybeans ended down 3 to 7 cents at 838 to 846, with basis steady to down 4 at 4900 to 41 under the January. New crop wheat prices were 5 cents lower at 487 to 497, with basis unchanged at 3500 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to down 3 cents at 370 to 373. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 to 7 cents, with quotations at 865 to 867. Soft wheat closed mostly 4 cents lower at 512 to 520, and Milo ended the day mixed at 360 to 363. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 328 to 355. Soybeans at 805 to 841. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 333 to 356. Soybeans at 824 to 867. In the southern part of the state, contract bids for producers for January delivery corn at 337 to 368. Soybeans at 828 to 861. And June, July wheat at 477 to 516. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On to your closing livestock futures from the Thursday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle and feeder cattle saw some losses, while hogs rallied from yesterday. And on to those numbers for December. Live cattle, they finished at 116.60, down 17 cents. February finished at 120.27, down 27 cents. And April live cattle finished at 121.87, down 52 cents. on to feeder cattle for January. They finished at 145.97, down $1.72. March finished at 143.67, down $1.67. And April feeder cattle finished at 144.37, down $1.45. On to lean hogs for December. They finished at 58.72, up 77 cents. February finished at 67.35, up $2.85. And April lean hogs finished at $72 even, up $1.92. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield one more time this morning for the latest cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 36 cents lower in a range of $45 to $51 with the weighted average carcass price of $49.49. From the Illinois Direct Sale Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 26 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 30 to 37, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 41, over 600 pounds at 36 to 44. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 28 to 35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled 19,263. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $113 to $114 and on a dress basis traded at $180 to $184. Heifers on a live basis traded at $114 and on a dress basis traded at $183 to $184. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 289 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.44, which was 70 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $212.61, which was 67 cents lower, with select carcasses at $198.53, which was 3 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000 compared to 2,000 for last week and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 474,000 compared to 2,000 for last week and 464,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Greenville Livestock Auction results, total receipts of 1,271. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 85 to 114. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 2 to 3 sold in a range of 83 to 90. And slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 100 to 113. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
For your news here in Part 2 on this Friday morning, we've been covering the progress from Washington on the Farm Bill, and it could be inching closer to reality. Leadership of the Farm Bill Conference Committee reports a deal is close, with a possible announcement this week and a more detailed announcement to follow next week, according to staffers close to the negotiations. A move towards an agreement would set the stage to allow Congress to consider final passage of the bill this year. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts says a full agreement depends on the cost analysis. There is little time in the lame duck session to complete the bill, as lawmakers are scheduled to exit Washington by mid-December. Still, all sides appear committed to finishing the bill this year, ahead of a new Congress that offers a change of control in the House of Representatives. Colin Peterson, incoming chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, has previously said he wants the bill done now before the next Congress, which would likely require a rewrite of the legislation. And while we're on the topic of the Farm Bill, there's one thing that could slow the committee's progress. Members of the Congressional Western Caucus issued a statement condemning obstruction of active fire management policies by Senate Democrats. The statement says the 2018 deadly and destructive wildfire season has further solidified the need for active forest management provisions found in the House-passed Farm Bill. The group sent a letter to the Farm Bill Conference Committee urging the inclusion. However, Farm Bill Conference Committee members reported Wednesday afternoon that leadership decided against any sweeping forestry title reforms, which has been the latest holdup in the Farm Bill debate. more than 52,000 wildfires have burned more than 8.5 million acres this year alone. The caucus, currently comprised of all Republicans, is open to all political parties. Opposition to the House plan has said that active forest management could devastate forests and wipe out all plants and animals. Moving on to state news, each Friday over the past 3 weeks, December corn futures have closed lower. These lower weekly thresholds have come despite a very good export pace. Todd Gleason has more from the University of Illinois.
USDA projects this marketing year, U.S. corn exports will top 2.4 billion bushels. So far, that doesn't look too bad, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs.
We're definitely on pace, well above last year's pace, but everybody needs to remember we got off to sort of a sluggish start last year and really picked up in the second half of the marketing year. That sort of carried into this marketing year. We've seen a little bit of weakness recently, but we're still well within the range of 2.45 billion bushels, in my opinion.
Well, Hubbs is okay with USDA's corn used to produce ethanol figure 2, although he says that'll depend on ethanol exports as plant margins are really tight. He's hopeful the corn used for feed number will look better in January. That'll depend a lot on the December grain stocks report. Still, he says,
right now, from the November projections, we are on track. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty left in that. But when we look at the weakness we've seen in corn prices over the last few weeks, it's definitely related to soybean prices and the bearishness in the oil market. And I think both those things are sort of holding down corn prices.
Not that if those two items were solved, corn would rally substantially. It would come up, but still be capped by the available supply. And some thought that USDA's export target is a bit robust. Todd Hubbs thinks of it this way. The market has done a good job of front-loading U.S. corn exports, and it's very unlikely the second half of the 2018-19 marketing year will be a repeat of last season's stellar pace. I'm Todd Gleason.
On to your local news this morning. Approximately 1,868 Illinois Farm Bureau members, staff, and guests are expected to attend the 103rd annual meeting of the Illinois Farm Bureau in Chicago this weekend, starting tomorrow, Saturday the 1st, through Tuesday, December the 4th. There will be 343 voting delegates on behalf of 79,000 voting members. As of August the 31st, the Illinois Farm Bureau recorded 394,742 total members. Approximately 3 out of 4 farmers in the state are Farm Bureau members. There are 93 county farm bureaus in Illinois, with some counties that have consolidated their organizations. We'll have former WSMI Ag Director and current Montgomery County Farm Bureau Manager, Katie Wilson, there reporting from the annual meeting, and we'll have those reports for you here next week on WSMI AM and FM. Moving on to our last local story for this morning. Earlier this week, I caught up with the new ag instructor and FFA advisor at Hillsboro High School, Noah Gallion. We caught up on what the Hillsboro chapter has been up to so far this school year.
Yeah, Gabe, thanks for having me. It's pretty crazy that we're already to the almost the end of the very first semester. But yeah, a little bit about myself. I was a graduate of Hillsboro High School in 2014, so not really that long ago. I was there from 2010 through 2014 as a member of the FFA program here, so a lot of this seems pretty familiar to me, but it's definitely pretty crazy to be looking at from the advisor role now. Originally from Coffeen, spent 4 years down at SIUC in Carbondale. I got my major in ag business and ag education, and now I'm right back here in year one.
So being fresh right out of Carbondale, what do you think of teaching so far?
I love it so far. It's definitely been a really cool experience, especially to get to be right here in the home high school and to get to see everything from, again, a different point of view just astounds me every day. Every day, obviously, you know, does pose its challenges, but we've been jumping over hurdle to hurdle, and I think we've been off to a pretty good start. I can't complain at all.
Teaching here at Hillsboro, of course, certainly helps. How has that helped your transition from being a college student to teacher, as in relation with the community?
I can't say how much that's helped. It's just been a huge benefit to me to know the people in this community that will be there to help out the FFA every step of the way. As I've had questions and concerns and needed some guidance in some different areas as far as how to set things up or, you know, where to go for this, where to go for that. To have those resources already there and to know those people has been definitely a benefit that I've tried to use as much as I can and will continue to use.
Moving on to the students, the FFA wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the students. So far, what has the chapter done with the contest and conventions part of it? Anything that was notable so far this year?
Yeah, for sure. Just like any FFA chapter, we've been pretty busy. So just some of the highlights of this semester, we've attended several of the competitions. They're called career development events. We've hit horse judging, soils judging, ag sales. We're getting ready to go to job interview and Green Hand Quiz Bowl. So those are all different areas that the students can compete in. We've had some success at them as well, so we're pretty proud of what we've accomplished so far. And then there's a lot more that we'll hit in the spring semester as well. Some of the conventions that we've attended, the big one being National Convention in Indianapolis. Spent 3 days in Indy. That's looking about a month ago now. So we spent 3 days in Indy, had a great time, saw a lot of different aspects of agriculture there, went on some really cool agricultural tours, and I've probably heard by now that Garth Brooks made an appearance, so we got to see that. So I can't wait to get back there next year, and that was definitely a really cool experience to get to do that from an advisor standpoint now.
I know other than just contests and the conventions, you also have some annual fundraisers that you do every year. You just finished one. Tell us a little bit about that one.
That's right. So we just finished up taking the orders from the Hillsboro FFA fruit sale, one that's been a tradition. It's been around for a long time. We definitely appreciate everyone in the community who has participated in that throughout the years, this year included. We've definitely enjoyed another successful one this year, in my opinion. So we were looking to get that order in sometime around December 12th is what we're looking at, and we'll make sure to get all that fruit delivered and sent out before the holidays when we take our break for Christmas break.
Moving right along here, is there anything here in the future that you guys will be taking a part of, CDE-wise, any conventions?
Yeah, so we've got one competition coming up in the next couple weeks that we actually host here at Hillsboro High School. That is the Dairy Foods Competition, which is one of my personal favorites, where the students get to demonstrate their knowledge and abilities in the dairy industry, which is something a little different for this area. But I still think it's a really cool contest where the students get to sample different dairy products and demonstrate their knowledge of the dairy industry in the form of an exam. So they're actually getting some hands-on experience where they're taste testing things and identifying them and maybe identifying some defects in some products to make sure that, kind of quality assurance type things. And the really cool thing is that we get to host that at Hillsboro High School, so we'll have a lot of the different local FFA chapters come to the high school and we'll put that event on for them. And we'll compete in it as well, so my lessons right now are pretty fun. We're getting ready to start that unit where we're getting to taste cheese and milk in class. So there's definitely some added perks to the job that you don't think about right off the bat.
Well, Noah, it sounds like you've already had a successful start to your year here at Hillsboro, and I hope you have many good years yet to come and look forward to working with you and interviewing your students and yourself here in the years to come.
Yeah, we sure appreciate it. We've been off to a great start, and as long as we keep rolling in the direction we are now, I think we'll be just fine. We appreciate everything that you and the rest of the community has done to help us out to this point.
Again, that was Noah Gallion, new ag instructor and FFA advisor at Hillsboro High School. That's all we have for this Friday morning. This is Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.